Sairam listeners, till now you have heard the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari, and this is Team Radio Sai Ganesh inviting you all to yet another episode of Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. In today's class, we have a special program for you. Today, we have a special talk on the significance of Sri Rudram that was delivered by Dr. K. Anil Kumar as a part of the third Sri Satya Sai Veda Poshana workshop that was held in Bangalore on 11th December 2016. Dr. Anil Kumar is an alumni of Bhagwan's University. He did his schooling in Hyderabad and then joined Bhagwan's educational institutions for his 11th standard and then went on to complete his BSc, MSc and PhD in the field of chemistry. He was blessed to be a part of the Prashanti Mandir Vedam group. We shall now listen to the second part of his talk on the significance of Sri Rudram.
Rudram therefore has to be chanted because it's a prayer which protects not just us, it protects the whole community. Where there is a Rudram chanting going on, the community is saved. The reason is, Rudra is actually a progression of, see, every aspect in this universe has two things to it. This Swami used to tell very often, the Ghora and the Aghora aspect. Means, so the example Swami used to give is, you eat food in limited quantity, it is good for you. It is beneficial, it is Shiva. You eat the same food in unlimited quality, it is Rudra. It is dangerous. And therefore, this quality of the, that is why in the Jhana Shlokam, Brahmanda Vyapta Deha Vasita Dhumaducha, in that Shlokam we say there are two forms to Lord, Rudra and Shiva, and both are needed. The Ghora and the Aghora aspects are two aspects of the Divine, and both are needed for running this universe. Both are there in every bit on, in this universe. In another example Swami gave in one of his discourses was, if there is a storm on the sea, there is rain on the land. If you don't have storm on the sea, you won't have rains on the land. So if there has to be Rudra for Shiva to happen. If Rudra doesn't exist, Shiva will not happen. That is the way the universe runs. And therefore, the prayer Rudram is to keep the Rudra aspect where it is supposed to be, away from the living community. And Shiva aspect towards the living community. And in fact, Rudra when you keep chanting, you start from Rudra, and around that 8th Taruvaka, you get Shiva Tara. And around the last Taruvaka, you get Shiva Tama. Tara and Tama are like good, better and best. Right? So you are actually praying to the Lord, and at the end of Rudra, you make the Lord the most proficient for you and for your community. So Rudram therefore is a prayer of ensuring that all the good vibrations, all the good aspects of everything that we need, we again the whole community, the whole humankind needs for its existence is made available to the humankind. And where the Rudra aspect has to exist on this planet, could be disease, could be the forest, could be wherever, which we don't know, it has to be there. So this is a prayer. This is a prayer therefore for community. There is one thing that we have to understand. It's a very, therefore very, very important prayer, especially in this present day. That is the reason why Swami made in, I think, 2008 or 2009, I don't remember the year, Swami made the then All India President Mr. Srinivasan to announce that every devotee should learn Rudram. The reason is every devotee, the Rudram is absolutely essential for the present day world. With so much of negativity all around, it is only the Rudram which will save us and save our societies. There is still another very important significance of the very whole ritual of Rudrabhishekam. In fact, one question I had posed, why is it that Swami started Atirudra Mahayagam in 2006? She could have started this in 1940 when he announced that I have come for the devotees. In fact, this question of why Swami has started a particular activity during particular time in his mission throws a lot of inner meaning. Like 1940 Swami when he announced, till 64 there was no Sevadal organization created. And if you read all Swami's early discourses, it was all bhajan, nama sankirtan, bhajan, nama sankirtan. This is to convey that nama sankirtan or daiva priti or bhakti is the foundation for seva. So even before seva can be started, seva has to be rooted in the bhakti. And that is why first 20 years of Swami's mission was only Namasankirtan. He used to go anywhere, there should be, in fact in Pada Mandir, 3 hours morning there should be bhajans and 3 hours in the evening there should be bhajans. It was bhajans, bhajans and bhajans all along till 60s when Satyasai Seva organization came in. So similarly, Atirudram therefore, when Swami started in 2006, the significance that I thought was, Linda itself, Swami has told a number of discourses, because it doesn't have a beginning nor an end. It is the symbol which connects Sakara to Nirakara. It takes us from a Sakara Bhakti to a Nirakara Bhakti. So to tell us all, it's out of infinite love, because he was moving on from a Sakara to a Nirakara, to convey that and to get us ready to that state, Swami started this in 2006. It is to connect, help us move from a Sakara worship, all the time worshipping a physical form, to a Nirakara Tattva through the Linga. So that first component of Rudrabhishekam, where Linga is used, that is, it is not that Swami is Shaivite or Vaishnavite. There is no such, because some boys ask me this, why is it that Swami is doing more of Rudrabhishekam? The Rudrabhishekam does not have any connotation to Saiism. It is fundamentally that this Linga is the one which connects Sakara and Nirakara. First point. Second point is, we remove Abhishekam with water. Main thing is water. Rudra Shiva is Abhishekam Priya Abhishekam. Why water? Then this posed another question in my mind. When Swami talks so much about love, that everything in this universe is love, Vedamanta never uses the word love. There is no word use of word prema anywhere in Vedas. So I used to wonder, why is it that this thing doesn't feature? Why is it that Vedamata is not speaking about love? Then there was beautiful revelation, understanding is got from Gargha Bhagavatam. Gargha Bhagavatam, Krishna and Radha, in it, while having a conversation with Radha Mata, Krishna says, today I will take you out to show you something very unique. And takes Radha for a walk in the forest. There they see one Rishi by name Rubhu, Rubhu Rishi. And Krishna says, he is the one who has maximum love for me. Even Gopikas do not have the love that Rubhu Rishi has. And Rubhu Rishi is lost in meditation. So Krishna and Radha go and stand in front of Rubhu Rishi. Rubhu Rishi is lost in meditation. What Krishna does is, he disturbs his meditation from within. Rubhu Rishi opens, sees Krishna and that too with Radha together. He is so thrilled. He does pradakshina, does totram, and after some time Rubhu Rishi is no longer there. Just not there. So Radha Mata gets completely bewildered. She asks Krishna, Krishna, what is this? You said such a great devotee. After seeing him, where is he gone? Then he says, look down. There they see a river flowing. Then Krishna says, out of his intense love for me, his sharira has got transformed into water. So that means what? Water is a symbol of intense divine love. And then Krishna goes on to explain, it is his immense love which got transformed into Ganga. And then it gives these things just that Lord Krishna gave rise to river Vishnu gave rise to river Krishna, Lord Shiva gave rise to river Veni, Lord Brahma gave rise to river Kakutmini. And there Krishna describes that anyone has intense divine love, the body gets converted into a river or a water and starts flowing. That means water is a symbol, and then if you move on to understand Mantra Pushpam from this, where we say, you see Mantra Pushpam, Yopam Pushpam Veda Pushpavan Pajavan Pashuman Bhavati, if you see the whole thing there, it says, if you understand that the source of sun is the water or the flower of water, you know everything in this universe. What does it mean? If you understand that the source of sun, the Agni, Vayu, sun, moon, nakshatra, parchanya, samvatsara, this time, is water, here means divine love. So therefore, in a sense, I felt so thrilled seeing this. In fact, it has made me, and the reason why they function, in Anandavali it is given, Vishas Madhvatapavade Vishode Kisuryaha Vishas Madhvatistem Vrasta Vrityuddhadimanchamaiti. They all are functioning because of fear. Then what is this fear? Again same Anandavali says, Yadakye Vaishake Tasmin Nugaramantaram Kurute Adharasya Bhayam Bhavati Antaram Kurute. For a short time they are cut off from that love, there is fear that is created. And because of that fear that they might have a fear, they continue to function. Means in a sense what I suddenly felt so thrilled reading this or trying to understand, it is as though having lived with Swami, all of us having lived with Swami, we know what it is to function while loving God. It is as though sun, moon, stars, fire, everything that we see around, wind, are functioning like Kasturi Garu, Kutumba Rao, Sanjay Rao, Chakravarti Sir, or I would say even Shivashankar Sai, who was the warden. All the functioning was only for the sake of what? Where will we ever displease Swami? Where will Swami stay away from us? Will that love for their love for Swami and Swami's love for them, will that get cut off? And therefore, they should function. That means what? Even now in this universe, right from the air that we breathe in, we have to understand this Vayu is connected and it's functioning because it is connected to the love of Swami. They are functioning because they love Swami and they want Swami and they are constantly experiencing that love of God. So the whole universe is love. Mantra Pushpam, what it tells us is that the whole universe is love. Everything in this universe is functioning because of their love for the divine. So therefore, the whole universe is in a sense prashantaranya. Functioning for the sake of the Lord. Right? So this, therefore, water we have to understand, which is a connotation for Atirudram, is actually a symbol of love. So put it, in fact, Swami is to give lingam to so many foreigners and never say, have followed a ritual. Swami used to say, put a spoon of water on it and drink that water. Right? Why? Because putting a spoon of water on the lingam is only a form of saying, I love you, Swami. Nothing else. It's just a ritualistic way of saying, I love you, Swami. Because water symbolizes love. And linga symbolizes the sakara, nirakara, all of this aspect. In fact, the mudra, the third thing that is chanted while Rudrakshin goes on is a Sri Rudram. And if you see in Sri Rudram, there is no description of any form. I go down to the Lord who is in the thieves, I go down to the Lord who is in the clouds, I go down to the Lord who is in the green leaves. It goes on and on and on saying that God is everywhere. So Ati Rudram in a sense is a way to connect to this, to our Swami who is everywhere and connect to love. That is the meaning of Ati Rudram. And that is why in fact even in Sandhyavandanam, Sandhyavandanam is another way we give Tarpanam to Mother Gayatri. That is another way of saying I love you Mother. So it is only a question of constantly So this aspect of Rudram, which is that all-pervasiveness and which allows us to connect to that all-pervasive divinity, is what we have to understand as the very explanation of Atirudram, or Rudrabhishekam. And then moving on to other aspects of Rudram itself. Rudram, like in Swami's discourse, in Atirudram Swami had given, Rudram is generally understood as synonym to Lord Ishvara. In fact, it is the essence of all Vedas, namely Rig, Yajus, Sama and Atharvana Vedas. So Rudram is like the essence of everything. Knowing one mantram, we can connect to the divine. In fact, it is so powerful. I'll tell you one experience of ours. We were in 2008 or 9 when we started teaching and learning Rudram in Hyderabad youth. Just then around the same time, there was floods in Kurnool area. So terrible were the floods. In fact, when we went there, we thought we were at sea. There was no land seen. Where you see from the top of the lorries, everywhere was water. So it was so such, imagine midland having so much water. So it was really bad floods. And we didn't know what to do at being in Hyderabad. So all the youth decided we will do Rudra Parayana. So the night after the officers, everyone arrived at the Shivam. At 8 o'clock, we started chanting Rudram. As, because it takes 3.5 hours for Ekadash Rudram. As we are chanting at 10 o'clock, we get a call from Srinivasan sir, saying that Swami has instructed from Bhakti, Swami has instructed that all Hyderabad youth can go for Seva to the flood-stricken area. We were the first ones to go there, and as we were going, this was my literally physical experience, we were chanting Rudram and going in the lorries. As we were moving, the rains were receding. It was literally as though we were pushing the clouds away. It was literally, we were going with Rudram chanting. It was as though we were going with something and pushing the clouds back. Where we moved, their rain stopped. And we were the first ones to reach with relief. Of course, there is Sansai operation standard. This is, we will be the first ones to reach the Rishikan. And we really were the first ones. And that time we really realized the power of Rudram, how impactful it is. In fact, very first time, it's another experience I should recall. First time we decided that we will do, we have a, I think it's still going on now also in Hyderabad, I'm not sure. But we used to do once every month. One Sunday, we used to have Ekadash Rudra Parayana. And first time when we started, it was in April. In April, at Hyderabad, no one can expect a rain. We finished the Atirudram, gave Arati, there was a downpour outside. Immediately. Proving that so, Rudram, you just have to do it to see the power. It's enormous. That mantram, when it is chanted, even just as Parayana, not even as Abhishekam, just chanted together, that too in unison, it really kind of purifies the body. It has such multiple inner significance. In fact, Swami once told one of the devotees who then told to me, I have that notes, where Swami in the dream explained to him that whole of photosynthesis is there in Rudram. The detailed flow of electron from chloroplast to cytochromes, and what is the color of the cytochromes? Everything is described in Rudram. It's too lengthy, so that's why I am not bringing here. It becomes too very scientific, so I thought it may not connect to everybody here, but I have the notes with me. Similarly, there is a whole lot of explanation of Rudram for as a Ayurvedic treatise. Every shloka, every line of Rudram is actually a way of developing, making medication. So for each disease there is a solution. And how to make that solution, which plan to be taken, how to mix that plan, everything is hidden in this very same mantra. So it's a mantra which is, as I said right at the beginning, it has multiple meanings. We have to understand that. No single meaning is a complete meaning to it. And no single meaning is the only meaning that one individual can get. As we keep diving deeper and deeper into this, it will continue to, because that is the reason why Swami is to often, in fact, the Dasara itself, I think all of you know this, but for youngsters who do not know, it is the Rudrayagam. What is done, the Havan, is the mantra chanted there again is Rudram. So Rudram is the one, Rudram is the one which is given, Swami has given so much importance, and I think it is necessary. The reason Swami has given this importance and guided is because of his love for us, because of the present day negativity that is there. I think the only way we can really help or serve the society, that's why we should understand this, chanting is not only personal sadhana, it is seva. As good as going and doing Narayana Seva or some rural service, just chanting Rudram also is a service. Because it is through this we can ensure that we can purify the atmosphere and pray with another Lord who is everywhere to be beneficent towards all of us. And just one or two words on how to chant Rudram, because initially they said I should say something about it. So what I have learned from Swami's feet was, we should, in fact, when we started chanting in 2003, I'll quickly tell this anecdote. We were chanting, because we had to chant continuously, we decided to chant Swasti. So two gurus were there, we used to chant Swasti. Swami said, no Swasti, chant together. So first thing was gone, it was tough. And then added to the Swami to come and say louder. Say second, say louder. Chant louder, still louder. So much so that our voices used to go. Post chanting, we could not speak to each other because the vocal cords would have been completely used up by them. So that was the state, but the reason behind us, Swami is telling us to chant louder and louder and louder, is because Vedas, the sound, unlike light music, should come from Nabi. Light music can come from the mouth part, right? Whereas Vedam has to come from Nabi. And Vedam, therefore, when it is chanted from Nabi with full gusto, is like Vikaran Siddhi. Your thought, word and deed gets into the chanting. So that is the only way we have to chant Vedam. While the Vak Shuddhi, the Mantra Shuddhi, the intonations, all that have to be there, the way it has to be chanted is that it has to come from Nabi. Another very important thing in Vedam is it's a group effort. We should never ever feel that it means, so we have to be in consonance with the group. The way the group is chanting, you have to align yourself. So it also helps slowly to eradicate individual egos, whatever small or big they may be. We can get out of that because we have to be in a group and it is a teamwork all along. And finally, I feel, because there's another very common fear among many, that if you chant Vedam without knowing properly, will it lead to some danger? My understanding and my submission is, if we do it as a worship to our Lord with only intention of pleasing Him, I don't think we need to worry too much about it, because unless we start chanting, we won't learn how to make ourselves better. It's like, unless, if you say, I don't know swimming and therefore I want, till I know swimming, I will not jump into the waters, you will never learn. So same way, if we say that unless I know, I will not even start chanting, you will never learn chanting. We were all, in fact, that's what I started with, sir, taught us everything. We were never chanting properly. I don't think even, I may not be perfect even now. But unless we do it, we will not start becoming better and better and better. So I think, if we do it as a worship to our Lord, He will take care of ensuring that there are no negative effects that come on us. And therefore, taking this as a thing, we should move forward. And finally, again, to close with the uniqueness of Rudram. Rudradhyayi, what I was saying, that Rudram is a community prayer. Rudradhyayi vase yatra. Instead of going through everything, what I will say is, where Rudra, person who follows or chants Rudra or does the regular chanting of Rudra stays, there there won't be any kshuptibhasa, means hunger, or any durbhiksha, famine, or vyadi, disease. So this is again to correlate or confirm the statement that Rudram is for community. And also Vedam chanting is so very beneficial. I will take this example. This is like an example for me, because we all saw him, Kamadhani Garu, 24 minutes, all the time of his waking time, he used to be chanting. If you go to his room or wherever he was settling down, and constantly the manana of Vedas used to go on. And really, the blessing that he got, I don't think anybody else had. As long as he was there, he was the first one to take the first namaskar of the day from Bhagwan. He used to go up, have the namaskar when Swami comes out of his bedroom, and then go back again into that. Behind the Prashanti was his small room. He used to go back there and sit there and continue chanting. The reason Swami gave him this wonderful, and I also heard from senior devotees, he earlier few years he also had an opportunity to chant Rudram outside when Swami was having a bath inside. He was blessed so much that way. So the reason I think Swami gave him that, apart from other aspects of individual merit, because he was constant Vedadhyayi, Swami gave him that wonderful opportunity to convey a message to us that a constant Vedadhyayi is always closest to his heart. This is what we need to understand. A Vedadhyayi is closest to Bhagavan's heart. And therefore, that is the importance that Swami gives to Vedas. And we should learn from this. And finally, the last statement, that Veda is universal. While it's not to be, this I will not go through in detail, but the quotation is there. I leave this presentation also here with everyone. This quotation is from Bhagavan's discourse where Swami said, Veda is not to be correlated with only Hinduism. It is meant for everyone. So with that, thank you all for giving me this wonderful.
With this, we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. We will be directly going to the live broadcast of the Vedam and Bhajans from the Sai Kulwant Hall. Stay tuned to Radio Sai Isha Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.